Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful that you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. With me is the president, CEO, and founder of Tarot International. We welcome her back. It's been a while. She's an amazing woman with this wonderful business that does business worldwide. Achieve, lead, and outclass is the motto. And in just a moment, you're going to find out why. Ro, welcome back. Nice to see you again.
It's wonderful to be here with you, Michael.
These are always such learning adventures for me. I know if they're learning adventures for me, other people out there are also learning. And I asked you in a conversation earlier this summer about sitting down and talking about active listening, because that is such a necessary skill for proper communication, correct?
Listening is an essential communication skill, and it is probably the most misunderstood one. It is the forgotten one. There's a lot of misperceptions around it, and few people are good at it.
What does it take, Ro, to become an active listener? You know, so many times, politicians, for example, you know, we're busy talking, telling people great things that we're going to do. But rarely do we shut up and listen. So what does it take to get there?
Well, probably several things, and one is to challenge assumptions. You said something, Michael, that is so perfect, the whole shut up and listen. That's the training we get when we're kids, yeah, is to shut up and listen. And that's a misunderstanding of what listening is. Listening's an active sport, and simply sitting there quietly does not necessarily mean somebody is listening, and yet that's the only training most of us have had.
Okay, so let's dig into this a little bit. What does tarot tell individuals and train individuals the steps to become an active listener?
Well, to first begin by challenging the way we think about listening, we often think of listening as being a sponge and soaking everything in. And if I loved how you introduced the topic that it's active listening, that it might be more accurate to think of listening as a trampoline, where we bounce ideas off and are very engaged, and there's actually more than just being quiet and opening up our ears. There's a whole body element to listening.
Really? Okay. Tell us about that.
Well, you've interviewed many of my colleagues,
yes,
who have shared with you a research study from the 1960s that's just as relevant now as it was back then, that shows that 55% of the impact of communication face-to-face comes from visual elements, 38% from vocal, and 7% from content.
So that's a fascinating statistic, isn't it?
It's fascinating, and it's devastating, because we put so much of our effort into what am I going to say, and then we find out actually the delivery matters, that it's, you can be saying the right thing, but if you don't say it like you mean it, you know, how many parents have said, tell your sibling you're sorry, now say it like you mean it?
Right.
And the same research applies to listening. It's not enough to just listen. We have to look and sound like we're listening. So all of us should think about, what does good listening look like?
Mm-hmm.
What does good listening sound like? And so often, we're just not even in a place where we're in a position to listen, because we're multitasking. You know, how
Very
many
much.
Times are we in the device at the same time as we're in the presence of someone?
Yeah, and that is so maddening, especially, I think perhaps the older one gets, you know, put that thing down and let's communicate a little bit.
Exactly. Yes. Let's create that environment that removes the distractions so that we can at least open ourselves up to it. And then once we decide we want to listen, then it's a skill we have to acquire, like so many of the things that we teach here at Tarot, and sincerely appreciate your compliments to our company. We're all a work in progress. The thing that we get to do at Tarot is study the research on this stuff and then bring it to other people. And it turns out listening is not easy.
Okay. Why? Distractions?
Distractions can get in the way.
Distractions? Not really being focused on the conversation?
Mm-hmm. And the mental chatter is a problem. All of us have a roommate in our head that's talking. And trying to silence that roommate that's yakking at us. Most of us, when we're listening, even if we think we're great listeners, we're listening to respond.
Correct.
Good listening is listening to understand. And that is a much deeper form of listening. It's one thing to sit here and listen while I'm thinking about the next great thing I'm going to say. It's quite another thing to focus exclusively on the communication and not be thinking about my next response, but trying to understand more from the other person.
So let me give you a scenario that I think many individuals, especially post-COVID, if you will, are facing once again. And those are networking events where you just had a beautiful 30th anniversary party here at Taro. And
Thank
I was
you.
So honored to be able to be invited to come. And it was, of course, first class like everything else. But one of the things in that kind of a scenario is how you network with other people and visit with other people, because there's a lot of stuff going on. You know, there may be music, there may be dance, who knows what's going on. But you're having interactions in very short spaces with people. How do you become much more effective at active listening with individuals in that kind of a setting?
Well, and that's a wonderful question, because listening is always happening in a communication context. And so back to the shut up and listen coaching we've all had, we need a big toolbox of skills. So in another interview, we can certainly talk about asking questions. In a networking situation, we should come prepared with 3 or 4 open-ended questions that will set the stage that creates the environment for someone to be able to talk for a couple of minutes. And then we can use our good listening skills that involve paraphrasing, clarifying, following up, asking more open-ended questions, acknowledging common ground, all of those things we talk about here at Taro.
So when we're engaged with an individual, an open-ended question, can you give us an example of what that might sound like?
Well, the difference between open and closed questions is the desired outcome that they have. So a closed question is a yes or no answer or a very brief answer. Open-ended allows people to talk a little bit longer. And I think you're a master of this, Michael. It's the investigative reporter questions. So if it starts with who, what, where, when, how, or why, it's open-ended.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives the person the opportunity to talk a little bit.
So something like, I've been following your career. Can you tell me how all of this started?
And that's actually a very good question that probably is going to open up the space. But if we analyze it, it's actually closed-ended.
Really?
Yeah. Can you tell me how all of this started? Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
But that's, if I'm in a good interaction, I'm very likely going to expound on it.
Got
anyway.
It. All right. So
it takes some mastery to be able to train ourselves to say, walk me through how we got here.
Yes, a much better phrasing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ro Crosby, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. She's the founder, president, and CEO of Taro International. One of the things that I've noticed about so many of your trainers, in particular, one of your star trainers, Carlos, who does a masterful job in sharing with people how to better communicate with other folks. And so it's speak for success.
Yes, how to speak your way to success.
Yes, is the topic. But during that, he's also not just speaking, he's also training on the listening aspect. Is that accurate?
That's very accurate, because all of our communications involve several different skill sets. And if we're going to deliver messages, we've got to learn how to receive them, and that's the listening component to it.
When you were talking about that study that was done back in the 1960s, which is stunning, by the way, how can you improve on not only the listening, but how can you improve on the quality of a conversation or a presentation by understanding those three aspects of effective communication?
Well, for your listeners that are inspired to think about listening, and I'm actually going to challenge them to think of something here shortly, the single most important thing that we can do to improve our listening is the same thing we can do in improving how we deliver messages, and that's eye contact.
Mm.
To become aware of where are we looking and make direct eye contact instead of engaging ourselves in our device or in something else. And just see what kind of response you find when you have at home, when you stop doing something and actually look at the person who's speaking to you.
And this works in marital relationships as
well. Oh, it's a great place to practice. Practice with the domestic partner. Practice with the children.
Yeah. And that would be wonderful practice for anybody. So give us that thought process that you were just talking about. You're going to challenge us on something. Go.
So what I would invite everyone who's listening is to think about who are the great listeners in their life over the whole course of their life. It could be people that are living or dead. But who do you know as a great listener in your life? Take a moment to jot down their names or initials. And if we gave someone a few minutes to do that, based on what we do in our training here at Tarot, we would find the average person's list had 2 to 5 names on it.
Really?
Now, research says each of us has a network of 250 people. That's the number of people we know on a first-name basis, the number of people who would probably come to our wedding or our funeral. And when you think about a network size of 250 people, and most of us can only think of 2 to 5 great listeners, wow. That's an astonishing experience. And then if we look at those names and ask ourselves, how do I feel about these people? We love these people.
Mm.
They matter so much to us. And so the challenge I have is, if we were to go and interview people that you work with or you live with and said, write down the names or initials of the great listeners in your life, would your name be on that list? And if it was, what would it mean to that relationship? So out of all the communication skills that we use all day, every day, this is the one that can be the game changer.
How do you get on the list?
Yeah. How do I become a great listener?
Yeah.
How do any of us do it? Well, yeah. Like anything, we have to make a choice.
Yeah.
And it requires a lot of conscious attention until it becomes a habit. And after a while, it becomes a little bit easier. But we've got to challenge that internal roommate voice that's going on in our head. We've got to focus on the other person. We've got to look like we're listening. We've got to sound like we're listening. We've got to get good at asking the follow-up questions, at clarifying, at paraphrasing, acknowledging common ground. It's a complex set of skills.
And this is something that Tarot teaches.
It is.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Well, and you know what? Of all of the things we do to communicate, the thing we do most is listen.
Hmm.
Yet if you look back at people's education, we've been taught to read, we've been taught to write, we've been taught to speak. How many of us have had formal training in listening? Very few, and the training we've had is from well-intentioned parents and teachers who said, shut up and listen. Yeah.
And we are learning, ladies and gentlemen, it's not always that easy. I want to switch gears here for just a moment, Ro, and talk about something that I had no idea that Tarot did. And I've known you for years, and socially and business, but you just shared with me how you reach out to nonprofits and individuals when you have an extra chair for some of this high-level learning. You say, come on. Be part of us. Tell us about that.
Well, I appreciate the chance to talk about that, Michael, because there could be some folks in our audience here who are affiliated with nonprofits or charitable organizations. Tarot celebrated 30 years, and we are here because we've had the great privilege of working with a lot of clients in this community, and that really makes you want to give back. And the way we do that is through the gift of learning. So in our public workshops, whenever there's an empty seat, so sometimes it's short notice, people might only have a week or two to plan for a class, we've got a list of nonprofits and charitable organizations that are interested in the training, and we'll call them up and say, hey, we've got 2 seats in a class next week. Do you have a staff member or a volunteer or a board member who might want to fill one of those seats? And we waive the tuition for them.
And so one of the things I think is stunning about this is they pay nothing for this. They come in and you are giving them the gift of learning rather than saying, oh, I'll just write a check.
Yes. Well, and we would all love to write checks because they need that as well. And of course, we all support where we can. But a little business like Tarot can't make a huge financial contribution that'll make a difference to all these places. But the gift of learning transforms people and transforms organizations. So whether it's communication skills, team building, leadership development, that's how we support our community.
Yeah, and again, I had no idea until we sat down and started talking about this. But that is rule number one, ladies and gentlemen, if you are giving back to your community, and what a gift that is to nonprofits and charitable organizations. Active listening skills, part of the curriculum here at Tarot International. Ro, thanks so very much for sitting down and explaining all of this to me. I appreciate that.
It's always a delight to be with you. Thank you.
That once again is the voice of Ro Crosby. She is the founder, CEO, and president of Tarot International. You can find them on social media at Tarot Trainers. And yes, we will have links to their website up on the radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for joining us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Ro Crosby, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe. Be well. Be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.